It's just like electric cars. I mean, 10 years ago, people said electric cars, ah, what's that rubbish?
Don't see how you edited it.
Welcome back, listeners, to another exciting episode of Petromin Podcast, where we navigate maritime insights one episode at a time. I'm your host, Ruth Shannon, and I'm thrilled to guide you through today's maritime exploration. Today, we are here for our final episode of Hydro Mover from Concepts to Currents. We will hear from the experts from last week again. Let's continue our conversation with Mr. Prabhjot Chopra, Vice President Technology, SeaTech Solutions, and Mr. Yeo Ying Da, Director at Lita Ocean. Welcome back, Mr. Prabhjot and Mr. Yeo.
Now, let's get back to the Hydro Mover, okay? A very simple question. I know there's a lot of comparisons. How is this different from a regular vessel? But let's just look at it from an electric vessel point of view. There are a lot of electric vessels around the world. This is Singapore's very first one. Did you take inspiration from any one of those around the world, or was this just fresh out of the box?
For Lita Ocean, this is actually not the first electric boat delivered. So this is actually the fourth one.
Amazing.
But however, the first three vessels were much smaller and had a lot less battery capacity. So not really comparable. And when it comes to electric hovercraft vessels, you don't see a lot in the world because it's actually very technically and very commercially challenging to do so. And
three electric vessels that you talked about, they are in protected waters. So we shall not go there. But I think, we didn't draw, I would say, inspiration from any of the electric vessels worldwide. Mm-hmm. Because when you talk about electric vessels, it becomes very specific to where and how the vessel operates.
Right.
So we actually looked at the conventional vessels, and I mean, because YDHE owns vessels as well and operates them, to see how these vessels, what they are required to do, and see how we can still get as much of the functional requirements from him and put it into the design. The charging was a swappable concept was totally new. Nobody had done it, so that's entirely novel, I would say, in that way. And I mean, till today, there is still skepticism about the swappable technology. So we want to actually, we believe in it, and I believe it's more of a filling in of the gap. Why I say that? So when we were on this project, we thought Singapore is an island. It doesn't. Firstly, we have very little land. We have even less harbor space.
Yeah.
Now, and we have over 800, 900, even 1,000 of these type of vessels. How will they all come back and charge? So that itself was a big challenge. And to overcome that is a big cost for infrastructure upgrade. Now, who's going to bear that cost? So we said, okay, and time required for infrastructure upgrade. I mean, you can't go changing your cables and wires which are running underground overnight or even in a year.
Of course, yeah.
So we thought about it and we said, listen, we really need to think outside the box and see how to negate this infrastructure thing. Otherwise, it will never move ahead. So we are very happy with it and we want to see and push the boundaries. And the other advantage is, of course, battery technology is new or relatively new for marine. It is also getting advanced because as soon as more people start looking into it, you'll find more producers pushing the boundaries, getting more higher density cells.
Yeah.
With a power swap, you can actually replace these cells. So without, and keep the body there so that you can actually increase the endurance or the capacity of these over time as the battery's technology matures, not replace the whole vessel. So that's a big advantage as well.
Very interesting. Yeah, you were talking about skepticism towards swappable batteries. Other than that reason, were there any other reasons for resistance towards?
We are in Asia, Ruth. We are in Asia, and I mean, seeing is believing.
I'm sure.
And I mean, so we really had to build this, we believed in it, but for other people, they only realize it when they go on board. When they try and operate it, because it's just like electric cars. I mean, 10 years ago, people said electric cars, what's that rubbish?
Yeah.
But, I mean, nowadays, every country, it's changing to an electric car. Right. I mean, if you look at Norway, which was, I would say, the first movers in this, I think by 2030, they would have more electric cars than conventional.
Yeah.
You look at China right now. I mean, there are reports of China's EV markets. I mean, they are coming up bigger and faster than any other EV brand in the world. Now, that's a big statement, bold statement right there. And to me, when this vessel at the launch, I mean, and, you know, it's, I remember this moment because I was on the jetty and the vessel started moving. And I was like, why is the vessel floating away? Because there was no sound. And then I realized it hit me, you know, after I said it aloud, oh yeah, it's an electric vessel, yeah. It's silent. So that's truly different because you can actually, you won't know when it's moving. So
I mean, this has been such a big success. And does this make you more pumped to go to the next big thing? Or what is the next big thing? What's in the plans for Lita Ocean and SeaTech Solutions with regards to electric vessels?
I think every electric vessel is different. You have to design and you have to build an electric vessel based on its individual operating profile. So not all electric vessels can be the same. On the roads, you know, all the vehicles, all the electric cars are more or less, you know, cookie cutter types. But for boats, they're different. They have different operating requirements, different cargo carrying, different passenger carrying capacities. So we all have to take that in mind. But what Lita Ocean and SeaTech are working together, it's not just the hydro mover. We are also looking at different novel technologies, you know, for electric vessels, and we hope to definitely strengthen the partnership. And we see different, technologies in terms of how optimization, how to improve the efficiency of the vessel, we hope to do more in that regard and to design and build more electric vessels together.
Very exciting.
I would say we're just looking how to get the cost down. I mean, once we can unlock how to make it sustainable for people's pocket and where they can get their ROIs and they can see they can get their ROIs, I think this will take off very quick, very fast, in a very big way. So, I mean, we are looking and we are discussing opportunities. I mean, even where we can see, because, I mean, building in Singapore, for example, is expensive. I mean, labor is not cheap here in Singapore. So we are seeing how to do some of these things maybe in other countries, bring them here, but how to make it cost-effective, bottom line. I mean, otherwise, it just won't work. The numbers need to work. I mean, in freight, you can have, you have the choice of choosing green. You know, now if you order anything from Amazon, you have a tick mark, right?
Correct.
But you pay for it, right?
Yeah.
So here, the incentive is not there for people to pay for it yet. Everybody wants to go for the cheapest because as long as I reach point A to point Z, that's what matters.
Yeah.
I mean, this is, I would say, goes for maybe 80% of the world's population.
Definitely.
There are still 20% which are more conscious about the environment and don't mind paying a little bit more. But we need that 20% and 80% to merge, right? So we have to merge these two.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you. I have another question. So I know that the hydro mover, let's say if I were to step inside, very, very high-tech stuff inside, right? I think Jan Vigo is sharing with us that the whole system is very different from a regular vessel, of course, as expected. Now, this probably opens a lot of opportunities for the younger generation, the tech-savvy ones. Has there been a lot of, say, resistance for companies who've been around for a long time, the use of the old systems? How does this affect, I would say, opportunities for people entering the marine industry?
The marine industry has always been known as a very ancient industry, going on proven technology or proven systems. Right now, what we are trying to see, and I mean, because of this, we see people, there are less and less younger people who are tending to come into marine, especially to work on board vessels,
yes,
right? And what we are trying to do is, when we sat down with Jensen Greentech and Lita, they told us we want to make it like a spaceship where it's futuristic, it's touch screens, and you know.
So it looks like that. Eh?
Yeah. So and we want the environment to be such that a young Singaporean doesn't mind working on this as a 9-to-5 and maybe another shift later on and going back home every day, because it is something fancy and it's a clean, quiet environment. Now, when you go on the conventional vessels, it's more dirty, or I would say, you know, you have oil, right? So when you have oil and you have maintenance, then you need overalls and all that. So then it becomes a more harder labor, I would say, in that. Now, young Singaporeans, we are a, no offense, we are a first world country. So I think we have to cater and we have to adapt the environment to suit the younger generation, to encourage them. Guys, this is nice. I mean, if I said, how many of you younger generations want to drive a space shuttle, you'll see many hands go up.
I'm sure.
So,
It's not a secret that the local hovercraft industry has struggled to hire and retain Singaporeans, especially younger Singaporeans. A lot of the folks out there who are operating these hovercraft vessels, they are of a certain age, and you know, they're and they will be soon into retirement, and so there is definitely a need for the industry to start hiring and to retain them in this industry. And one of the important concepts for this hydro mover is to make it as attractive as it is possible for local Singaporeans to join the industry.
Yep.
There are technologies included in the vessel design and build that is meant to do that. And the other aspect of this is to look at reducing the number of crew that is required on board.
Yes.
So, for example, a typical vessel like this would be hiring a crew size of around 4 or 5 people.
Okay.
But with technology on board, we are able to reduce the number of people that are required to operate the vessel.
Ruth, I just remembered one thing.
Yes.
Earlier, you asked me about resistance to change, right?
Yes.
Let me remind you, change is the only constant.
That might just be like part of our hashtag line for this for this episode. Thank you so much, Mr. Yeo and Mr. Propjot. I have one final question for the both of you. Can you conclude by sharing with us, as pioneers in the field of electric vessels in Singapore, what message would you leave our audience with regarding importance of innovation and collaboration driving towards sustainable solutions?
Is actually quite simple.
Okay, great.
I think this journey towards decarbonization or electrification requires all stakeholders to come together, sit down, and not be close-minded, I would say, in terms of for the owners on how they operate the vessel. It might have to change because these are electric vessels. These are not conventional vessels. Secondly, on the designers, ourselves, be open to their ideas and see how you can make even better. Keep it open. Think outside the box. To builders, provide their input also. So I think we are all testing, trying, seeing what's there, what's the successful equation at the end of the day.
Okay.
As long as we keep an open mind and discuss the pros, the cons, I think you need to collaborate in this innovative future, otherwise you will be extinct.
To summarize, hashtag keep an open mind, think out of the box, and change is constant. Got it. How about you, Mr. Yeo?
I think from our perspective is that no one can do this alone.
Yes.
It really takes collaboration between like-minded partners. You know, from the designers, from the builders to owners who are willing to invest, not just with money, but with also the time and, you know, dare to believe that it's possible.
I love it. We have more hashtags now. Dare to believe.
So it takes a group of like-minded partners,
yes.
You know, from the designers to the builders to owners and to charterers. You know, the people who are actually, you know, paying, you know, to use the boat. they need to take a big step towards this journey. The Hydro Mover is just a first step. There is going to be a lot more vessels like this.
So to wrap it up, Mr. Yeo has said dare to believe, and Mr. Prabjot has left us with change is the only constant. All right. Thank you so much, Mr. Yeo and Mr. Prabjot, for being here today and for also concluding our very first series, Hydro Mover from Concepts to Currents. We really appreciate the both of you being here, and very big congratulations on the success of the Hydro Mover. All right. To our listeners and our viewers, thank you so much for listening and for staying tuned to the Petromin podcast. I am Ruth Shannon, your host. And of course, please follow us on our LinkedIn page and stay tuned for our next episode.